The title of the message this morning is My Heart, Christ's Home. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. We're going to be reading John chapter 15 and a little bit referencing chapter 14. We're going to be talking about our hearts being Christ's home. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8, and I want you to pay particular attention to when the Lord says abide, or whatever your translation might say. The emphasis is on abiding in Him. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Would you bow for a word of prayer, please? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God that you have entrusted to us, that we have Bibles in our homes and in our pews. Many of us have memorized that Word that's hidden in our hearts. We thank you that the Word of God is living, it's not dead. It is able to do what you sent it to do and accomplish your purpose in our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray for that this morning, that you would accomplish your purpose in this Word to our hearts. That you would cause us to turn to Christ and deepen our walk with Him. And if anyone here does not know Christ as Savior, that today they would put their trust in Christ alone. Father, we pray that you would bless this word, anoint this poor preacher, and those that listen, that our ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about our hearts being Christ's home. I want to talk about homes. Homes are special places and we love them. But at times, there are strange things that happen in homes. When my wife and I were first dating, my father-in-law had a strange expression when he talked about people getting married. He would say, they're going to set up housekeeping. And I thought, that's a strange way to talk about establishing a home, to set up housekeeping. After all we men know that it's the woman who's going to set up the housekeeping. And we are just going to be there to live. I thought it was a strange expression, but it is an expression that's known perhaps in your own community that people set up housekeeping. That is, they make a home. And they work together to make that home what it ought to be. When my wife and I were first married, we decided to have our own home. We got married and we had to have a place to live. So we searched. We didn't have money to buy a house. We were still in college. So we rented a place. We found this wonderful, big, old home. We had one of the apartments in it. And we were excited. This was going to be our first home. And we moved into that home together. Only to discover a little while later that we were not living alone in our home. We had thousands of others living with us. And we didn't expect that because we thought our home was just going to be our nestled love nest together. We got into that home and the first morning we woke up, we discovered something that we didn't expect. There were creepy crawling critters all over the house. We call them cockroaches. We had never experienced cockroaches before. And in this house, there were cockroaches everywhere. They were on the walls, they were on the floor. It creeped us out that they were even in our bed. We got up, Marilyn went into the kitchen to make breakfast, and she turned on the stove, the gas stove, and lit the fire, and the fire actually burned upside down. And we could smell the cockroaches roasting in the fire. I'll tell you, that was some home. And so we called the landlord and had him get an exterminator to come in. And the exterminator came and he walked through the house. He examined everything. And we started identifying the cockroaches from every place around the world. He said, this one's from Indonesia. This one's from Hong Kong. This one is from Florida. This one. So he knew all of those cockroaches. And he had that great big pack on his back of poison. And he walked through the house. And as he went through, he sprayed everything all over. And I was just amazed as he went through. You could see the cockroaches starting to fall off the walls. And then as he finished, we stood in the living room and he said, be still and listen. And we listened and we could hear cockroaches falling off the walls and in the walls and every other place. Well, the good part of that story is he exterminated all of them. And we were able to come back into our home and live in our home the way we thought it ought to be. You know, that's true sometimes of our Christian lives, that we bring things into our Christian lives. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we invite Him to come into our hearts and lives and be our Savior. And He says, I will come and I will take up residence with you. I will live with you and I will fellowship with you and you with me. And yet many times we bring other critters in. We bring other things that don't belong in Christ's home. We have certain contaminations that need to be cleansed, and the Lord needs to clean some things up for us. And so it's very important for us to understand that the message of the gospel is the message of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, I've been on the road preaching for about 8 or 9 years and going to different churches, and as I preach, I often refer to receiving Christ into your heart and life, because I believe that's the starting place. That's when we become born again, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. And there's lots of scriptures that affirm that. We find it in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. So He's not saying it's just believing, because He says the devil believes and trembles. It's receiving. It's actually inviting Christ to come into our life. Jesus affirms that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, when He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup. And that means fellowship with him and he with me. So it should be clear to us that the beginning of our Christian lives is that invitation to ask Christ to come in and be our Savior. We were missionaries in Brazil, and we were teaching these truths to children as well as to adults. And in one of our Sunday school classes, we were teaching this truth of Revelation 3:20, that Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and He wants you to invite Him to come in. One of the little boys was 12 years old, and he just seemed to be a very simple child. And he came forward after the service, and he said, Pastor Dick, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart, my life. And so I said, okay, you can do that. You just have to ask Him to come in, and I can pray for you, and you can follow the prayer that I do. And he said, no. I want to pray, and I want to ask Jesus to come in. So he stood there in the front of the sanctuary, and looked around him, and he looked up to heaven, and he said, Jesus, I'm Josette. I'm here today because I want you to come into my heart. Jesus, my heart door is closed, and I'm opening it. It's almost open. There, it's open. Now, Jesus, come in. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Now I'm closing the door. Watch your fingers. There, the door is closed. Jesus, you're now in my heart. And thank you for being my Savior. We thought, what a simple child. But that's exactly what the gospel is. It's a simple message of Christ in me. That Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, not just to get you to heaven, although that's very important. But He came and He died on the cross and rose again and gave us the Holy Spirit so that He could indwell us, so that He could live in us. Now begins the day of our salvation, the day that we invite Him to come in. He becomes our Savior. Jesus echoed the same thing when He talked in John chapter 14. He told His disciples, I'm going to go away and build a place for you. I like the old King James version. It says, I'm going to build a mansion for you in heaven. They've changed the word now, and now it's a room. I don't want a rooming house. I want a mansion. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then he talked about the Holy Spirit, and when Jesus departed, he was going to send the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would abide with you forever, and that he dwells with you but shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we know through the Word of God that Jesus Christ has come that we might invite him into our lives. Four things I want to point out about our heart's Christ home. The first one is what I've just referred to. We need to invite Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, to into our homes. That's the beginning of your salvation. That's how Jesus makes us new people. We are just living in our sins. We are without him. And then the day we open our heart's door, he comes in and becomes our Savior. The second thing I want to point out is that he wants to take up residence with us. He wants to take up residence. That is, he wants to come in and he wants to live there. He uses the word dwell and abide. You abide in me and I will abide in you. The word there means to dwell, to live, or to make your home or your residence. Jesus wants to make his residence in our hearts and lives. That means he wants to live there. He wants to live there with you and with me. There's a wonderful poem I heard years ago, and I wanted to share it with you because it emphasizes this idea of Jesus coming into your home and into your heart. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be your very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, I wonder, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the TV and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would he would you rush about? I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? Would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet you, your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh a great relief when at last he had gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. I think that's appropriate because Jesus doesn't just come to visit us. He's not a stranger that comes to visit on Sunday morning when you go to church. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked permission to come in and reside in you, to live with you, and to be with you, and to guide you through your life. It is an important principle that Jesus lives within us. There's a story that I read many years ago, and it's attributed to being a true story. I don't know that it is, but it's an interesting one. There was a couple that admired an old Victorian house, and they decided to buy that. It needed a lot of fixing up and had many previous owners. It had gone from one hand to another. Every 2 or 3 years it was sold and somebody else would buy it. And word got out that it was haunted, that the house was haunted, that people heard noises at night, and there were weird smells. There were creaks in the floor, and you could hear footprints during the night. And so many people were afraid to live in that house. But this young couple said, hey, this is the kind of home we dreamt of, and we want to renovate it, and we want to make it our home. And so they moved into this wonderful Victorian house, and they too began to hear the noises at night. They would hear the screech in the floor and the footprints of someone walking. And then they would feel like doors were being opened and they'd hear them close. And the husband decided, he was a brave man, he's not afraid of anything, so he decided to get up in the middle of the night when they heard that and walk around. And he walked around and he said, I didn't find any doors open, I didn't find anything unusual, but there was a smell in the house that he couldn't explain. It was a putrefying, horrible, wretched smell of something rotting, and he didn't know what it was. So this went on for several weeks. Finally, they called somebody that knew how to really investigate this house, because it was one of those really old, big Victorian homes that had walls and secret closets and places where you wouldn't get to. They called the contractor to come in and search the entire house and help them with the renovation. The contractor came in, and in the process of time, he found a door behind a bookcase. The bookcase would slide aside, the door would open, and they went into the door, and they walked up the stairways. And as they walked up the stair to the attic, they smelled that horrible smell. And as they entered into the attic, what did they find? They found this little old lady all shriveled up with gnarled hair and teeth falling out, unbathed and with her excretions in the same room, and there laid out of the bed was her dead husband, now just bones. They discovered that somebody was living in their house unbeknownst to them that was not welcome there. What do you think the couple did? Did they just say, hey, nice to have you in our home? No. They had police come and take her away, and then they sent the contractor up to clean up that upstairs and take out that smell so they could live there in their home. And that's exactly what Christ wants to do with us. He wants to come in, and he doesn't want other visitors there. He doesn't want somebody else in your home. He doesn't want any strangers there. Jesus talked about the man that was demon-possessed, and he cast out many demons from the man. But the man couldn't find anything to do, so he just became a vagrant once again. And those evil spirits came back, and they entered in again, and they infested his house. And Jesus said, the worst state of that man was worse than when he began. We need to be careful that Jesus Christ is the resident in our home. The third thing, first is invite him, the second is to take up residence. The third thing is Jesus wants all the keys to every door in your home. I was called to be a pastor of a church, and it was a church of between 300 or 400 people. It was large and had a large sanctuary and a fellowship hall, a basement that was full of Sunday school rooms, and they had extra rooms in the fellowship hall. I had keys to every one of those rooms, and often I would have people come and want a tour of the church, so I would take them through, and I'd bring that to every room except when we got to the fellowship hall. There was one room that remained locked. I did not have the key to that. And when the head elder first introduced me to the church, he too came to that door and said, we can't go in there. I don't have a key. We're not allowed to go into that room. So I thought that was very strange, but I searched all through the desk drawers looking for keys to that room, and I never found any. 8 months went by, and I was getting a little tired of not knowing what was in that room. And one day, someone found a key for me. And I thought, great, I get to go find out what's in this room. And I go down and open the door, and I open it up, and there's all these tables and sewing machines. And this was the Women's Missionary Prayer Fellowship Room. It's a place where they made the clothing for missionaries and missionary children. And I asked, why was it so closed up? Why was it locked away like this? It's a wonderful place. And they said, somebody might steal our threads. Sometimes we have things in our lives that we keep up, locked up from the Lord. Sometimes we don't allow the Lord to come in and to take up complete residence as he wants to. We keep some things shut away from him. There was a wonderful booklet that I encountered many years ago called My Heart, Christ's Home. And by the way, they're on the table as you leave, and you're welcome to pick one up. I think it's one of the most profound messages of what it means to receive Christ as Savior and invite him into your heart, into your home. In this book, he talks about the different rooms of his heart. By the way, Robert Munger was with InterVarsity. He has written many books. He said, of all the books I've ever written, this little one is the most popular. because it's so profound. He talked about his own heart being a place where Jesus is invited to come in. And Jesus, first of all, goes into the library, and he sees the books that he's reading and asks him to take the books out there that are offensive. Then he comes into the dining room, the place where he feeds all his appetites and his cravings. And Jesus says, I want to change those appetites and cravings. So he allows him to do that. Then Jesus goes into the workroom and says, I want to give you gifts so that you can work for me and not just do it in your own strength. And so he gives the Lord the key to that room. And he goes through the house and many different rooms of the house. One of the next to the last ones is the bedroom. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about the bedroom because I don't know you well enough. But you can read the booklet. Then he goes into the rec room, the place where recreation takes place. And Jesus said, I want to take some of these videos out of here because they don't belong in your home. I want you to surrender that to me. And finally, he says, one day he came home from work and came into the house, and Jesus was sitting in the living room with his head bowed and his hands between his knees, and looked very sad. And he said, Jesus, what's the matter? And Jesus looked up at him and said, well, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong in your house. I've been sitting here, and I've been in your house for many days, but there's a smell in the house. And it's an awful smell. And I want to get rid of that smell. And then Jesus pointed to the upstairs, and he says, I think it's in a closet upstairs. And I want to read this rest of it to you. There was a small closet up there on the hall landing, just a few feet square. In that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two personal things that I didn't want anyone to know about. Certainly, I did not want Christ to see them. I knew they were dead and rotten things left over from a previous life. I wanted them for myself. And I was afraid to admit that they were there. Reluctantly, I went up to him. And as we mounted the stairs, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed to the door. I was angry. That's the only way I can express it. I had given him access to the library, to the dining room, to the living room, to the bedroom, to the workroom, and now he was asking me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, this is too much. I'm not going to give him the key. Well, he said, reading my thoughts, if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with that smell, you are very mistaken. I will go and live out on the porch. Then I saw him start down the stairs. He makes this comment. When one comes to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense him withdrawing his fellowship from us. I had given in. I had given him the key, but I was holding one key back. Finally, I said, I'll give you the key, but you'll have to open the closet door, and you'll have to clean it out because I don't have the strength to do it. And Jesus said, just give me the key. Authorize me to take care of that closet, and I will. With trembling fingers, I passed the key to him, and he took it and walked over to the door, opened it, and entered. He took out all the putrefying stuff that was rotting in there and he threw it away. Then he cleaned the closet and painted it. And all this was done in one moment's time. Oh, what victory and release to have that dead thing out of my life. The last thing I would point out here is that Jesus wants to clean up the closets of your heart. The areas that are unseen from others, the things that you keep secretly away from Him, He wants you to surrender that to Him. For He knows all things, and He recognizes what's there. I want to close with a personal story, and it's rather an embarrassing story, but I think it's appropriate. So we talk about our hearts being Christ's home. I grew up in a Christian home where Mom always had devotions every day. We would sit down and have to go through that boring time of her reading the Bible and then doing our prayers together. And we thought that was quite boring. But we had come to the place where we asked Jesus to come into our hearts. We became believers. We were born again. And yet having 5 boys and 1 girl in the house, we get into mischief. We do things we shouldn't do. And we boys would go down to the river. And the river was a wonderful place to visit, because there we were away from everybody else and we could do whatever we wanted. We took our fishing poles and we got fishing. We would go under the bridge and we would fish for crawfish or crayfish, and then we'd pull them out. We'd get some bluegills, and once in a while we'd catch a carp. And it was great fun. But one day we were under the bridge and we found this nook inside the cement of the bridge, and inside was some paper. And we thought, that's interesting. Somebody's hiding something there. So we went in and we pulled it out and we looked at this thing and we went, oh my goodness. This was what I would call a Playboy book or something similar. I don't know that it was Playboy, but it was a book with interesting pictures that little boys had never seen. And so being a little boy, along with my three brothers, we took that out and we thought, whoa! This is amazing. And we would go back to the bridge over and over again to feast our eyes on the things that we were seeing. Mom never let us see those kinds of things, but hey, this is life, and we were looking at it. Well, one day, our younger brother went along with us fishing. And while he was distracted doing some fishing, we snuck off under the bridge, and we got our little magazine, and we were looking at the pages, and we were oohing and aahing. And then my little brother comes down and he says, what are you doing? Well, we grab it and throw it back in the little cubicle that was there. And we said, nothing. He says, no, you were reading something. What were you reading? And he runs over and he grabs it and takes out one of the pages. And there is a naked woman. And my brother took off running for home. Our home was about 5 blocks away. Now, I'm a fast runner. I've always been the fastest runner in our house. But my little brother Tommy, he took off and he went as fast as he could. I couldn't catch him. He got into the house, ran right into the kitchen to Mom with that embarrassing sheet of paper, and he held it up to my mom and he said, look what Dave, Dick, and Mike are looking at down at the peak, at the river. Oh, they're doing horrible things. I'll tell you, we were so embarrassed. And our mother found us out, and of course we got a lecture and we got a licking and we got scolded and we got preached to and told we needed to go to the altar on Sunday and confess our sins, which we did. But it's a lesson that we need to learn, that my mom always said, be sure your sins will find you out. And then she followed that up by saying, God will always tell me what you're doing. Now, God this time told her what we were doing, but it was through little Tommy. And we were quite embarrassed, but I'm glad that our sin was exposed. We were able to deal with that. Jesus says, I want to deal with the things that are in your life that are hidden from other people's views. The things you know you would be embarrassed about if Jesus were to come to your house today. If Jesus were to walk into your heart and expose those hidden things of darkness, you too would be embarrassed. But you know what those hidden things are. They may not be Playboy magazine or some obscene thing. They may be little things that you know are wrong that you know Jesus would not be pleased to see. And so this morning, as we think about these things, I want to challenge you. Is Christ at home in your heart? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to come in and be your Savior? And if you have you delivered to Him all the keys? Is He taking up residence in you? And have you surrendered every closet and every secret place? I don't know about you, but I have decided to follow Jesus. To invite Him to enter my heart and life. To let Him make my heart His home. To surrender to Him all the keys of every room and every closet. To let Him clean my closets, cubicles, and cubbyholes. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. In the words of a great song, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world that can keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. How is your heart this morning? Are you willing to let Jesus have every part? Are you willing to surrender to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be Lord of all, and I give it to You. Have you decided to follow Jesus. Would you bow your hearts with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, these are days in which we live in a world that is filled with sin, that has been justified, that has been covered over, that's been denied, and we get contaminated by the world around us. The world squeezes us into its mold, and yet you said you want to shape us into the image of Christ. And so this morning we again confess our sins and we surrender our hearts and we invite you to be Lord of all, that you would come and rule over our hearts, that you would be the King, that you would be the Master, that you would be the Lord of all. And we ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close with that? I think it's a familiar song to you. I have decided to follow Jesus. We're going to sing the first and the last verses.